Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is financing spiritual work. And before we begin our discussion of financing spiritual work, perhaps we should say a few words about the commercial that just opened our program.
I think our listeners who listen regularly will have noticed that the commercial is something new. And we, as people who have responded to our program before may know, we have been appealing for funds to be able to continue our program. This is paid programming, and the Lucis Trust, as we've explained, is a nonprofit organization that relies on voluntary donations. And we did have a very nice response from listeners, for which we are most appreciative. People sent donations and letters of encouragement and support, and we thank every one of you. But we've also come to a point where, to continue the program, we have to take on a sponsor for part of the costs, and only part of the costs will be covered, really a rather small percentage. But that explains the introduction of the commercial.
Yes, it's something we kind of didn't really want to do, but I think it's perhaps necessary under the circumstances. So we're going to try it, and I hope people will stay with us. And Just hang in there, because the discussion part of the program will not be interrupted by any commercial. You'll hear one at the beginning and one at the end, and that will be it for now. So,
well, why doesn't Lucis Trust just charge for its activities, as most groups do? I've certainly enjoyed the activities that I've gone to. And
I know a lot of people ask us that question. It was a decision made from the very beginning of our work, which started back in 1921 or 1922. The decision was made that we could not and should not charge for any aspect of our work other than the books which we publish and sell. And even the publishing company that publishes the books by Alice Bailey is non-profit. We receive income for the sale of the books, but no real profits are made. All returns are invested back in the reprinting of the books and the administering of the overhead of the publishing company. Beyond the books that we publish and a few videotapes that we've produced over the years, nothing else is charged for. Everything is on the basis of a voluntary donation. The philosophy behind that is that you cannot put a price on spiritual teaching. What price would you put on the impact that the writings of Alice Bailey have had on the lives of probably millions of people? Because the books have been translated into dozens of the world's languages and have been in distribution for 80 years now. What price would you put on their impact? $1 million? $1 billion? How could you set a price? And the same thing is true for the work of the Arcane School, which we've talked about on this program. It's a correspondence school that trains people to learn to meditate and to apply the ageless wisdom principles to their lives and their field of service. What price could you put? And the same applies to our activities of triangles and World Goodwill and the monthly meditation meetings we hold and the special conferences and seminars. All of it is open to anyone who is interested. All of our work is offered at no charge, but we believe that people will give and give abundantly in terms of their sense of the value they put on the work we offer. We trust people to respond appropriately.
Yes, and I think the miracle is that we have been kept going for like 80 years now on the basis of voluntary donations, and we've never had to charge, and we certainly don't intend to start charging now, except for, as you say, the books and certain videotapes that we provide. But it's based on the idea that that which is freely given should be freely shared. And the teachings in the Alice Bailey books were given out by the source, of the, you know, the master on the inner side. And he didn't charge any money for it. So we think that these teachings should be provided as cheaply as possible and as freely shared as possible. And we hope to evoke the spirit of giving through this kind of work.
So. The other point to keep in mind is that we wouldn't want anybody to be denied access to our work because they didn't have the money to pay for it. And I personally, and probably many people in our audience, can recall times when we might have wanted to partake of some spiritual program or offering and we couldn't afford it. And that, in our opinion, violates a basic spiritual principle that no one should be denied access to teaching for lack of funds. On the other hand, those who have must share and give, and we work steadily to educate people in the recognition of responsibility to share the resources they have.
Well, what are the challenges? What are some of the special challenges of raising funds for the work of the Lucis Trust?
Well, there are many challenges. We have to work steadily and actually daily to magnetize the appeal of our work. For one thing, spiritual teaching, emphasis on meditation, on study of spiritual writings and so on, can seem awfully abstract to people. We find that people tend to give abundantly to activities and projects that meet human need on a tangible level. For example, look at the response to the aftermath of September 11th when people in the United States gave, I think, billions of dollars to the recovery and to the victims. They gave immediately and abundantly because the need was so tangible and one which anybody could identify with. When you are thinking about attracting money for more spiritual, more abstract purposes, such as the lifting of human consciousness, the educating of the human mind to recognize spiritual principles, or the promotion of a deeper understanding of the power of goodwill and right human relations, or when you are thinking about funding programs that train people in meditation as a service to humanity, the reaction might be that those things sound nice, but they don't necessarily strike people's sense of urgency in the need to give.
Yes, our appeal tends to be, as you say, more on the abstract level, and the challenge before us, I guess, is to enable people to, listeners in particular on this program, to identify with the kind of note or the inner note that we are trying to convey in these discussions. And that's one of the challenges, is to find ways that present the teachings in the Bailey material in a relevant way to your lives and to everybody's lives in a practical way. And that's what we're trying to do here on these programs. And I think we are, to a certain extent. We don't have a church to people to give to, so our work is tends to be more abstract, and it's not something tangible you can give to. And
but we do have daily expenses.
Oh, certainly.
Ongoing
yes.
expenses.
We do have an office to, that has to. We have to pay rent, and we have to pay
we
salaries.
We have a payroll to meet every month.
Right, and just like every other business. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of expenses, monthly expenses, that we have to meet. So that's the real challenge before us, is to keep the message of the teachings relevant to people, and so that they can have something to identify with and enable them to identify with us in a more tangible way, perhaps.
Some of the other challenges of raising money for our work are that a lot of people who are drawn to the spiritual teachings are not necessarily those who are most adept at making a great deal of money. I don't mean that people who succeed in making a lot of money are therefore not spiritual, but when your focus is upon development of the inner life and so on, you don't necessarily apply yourself with the same zeal to amassing a large fortune. And so a lot of the people who support our work are not necessarily those who have access to a great deal of money to give. And yet we believe that the people who respond to our work and to its principles are those who are most responsible for and likely to want to support our work financially. And so we count on the contributions, large and small, of everyone who understands and identifies with our goals. And people do respond, they do support, and on our end, we try to keep our expenses as low and as reasonable as possible. Our salaries are nowhere near what the normal marketplace offers. People who work in the headquarters groups in the three centers have voluntarily undertaken a real sacrifice to be able to do so, and we watch all of the money we receive, using it very carefully, very frugally, and with deep gratitude for often the real sacrifice that people make to contribute to it.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is financing spiritual work. And since we're speaking about donations and helping us out with paying for these radio shows and all the other issues and payments that Sarah and Dale spoke about before, all the work, that is, of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's donations. The donations, once again, can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And by the way, perhaps another way of helping us out is if you order our books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, cassette tapes of our books. We have books that you can get cassette tapes of as well. Or if you'd like a free booklet that contains the Great Invocation, or one package that people like to order is the general package of information that tells you a lot about Lucis Trust, how you can become more involved. And we have people from a multiple number of backgrounds who come with us to meet with us and discuss spiritual philosophy or meditate with us. If you'd like to give us a call and order any of the aforementioned items, just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247, and we'll certainly, that's a toll-free number, by the way, and we'll be happy to send that general package of information out to you. Free of charge, of course. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis. Lucis, once again, is L-U-C-I-S. And back to our talk on financing spiritual work. Why did Alice Bailey say that the first requisite of raising money for the spread of goodwill is courage?
Well, I think it harks back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about the challenge of making abstract and spiritual goals seem urgent and real enough to elicit financial contributions. Physical need and even emotional need is more understandable to most people, and they will support with their own funds the meeting of those needs. But mental and spiritual needs, the need for light, the need for understanding or greater wisdom, and the goals of creating right human relations and building bridges between the different segments of humanity and fostering an understanding and recognition of spiritual values and promoting goodwill, those are things that may seem so abstract as to be pie in the sky to some people. And so it takes courage. And it's a challenge to present these goals and concepts in ways that people can identify in a personal way. That's part of the challenge of doing these radio programs for Dale and me, to take these teachings and present them in a way that makes them seem to be living, vital truths that actually manifest in a transformation of your own life. Because that's all, ultimately, that people can really identify with, I think.
Yeah, I think it does take a certain amount of courage to start talking about the potency of goodwill, for example, the energy of goodwill, because until you've actually seen this energy begin to work and to build relationships in the world, then you can see something tangible there. But so it's as you say, it's pretty abstract, and it needs to be related to some tangible thing, and that's what people will tend to give money for. And it's the same thing about speaking about the ideas and spreading the knowledge about the spiritual hierarchy, which we've talked about before, and the plan, and
The world teacher
and the reappearance of the Christ. And these are all kind of ideas that, well, they exist on the inner planes, on the inner side, and that's what we're trying to bring to light. And it takes a certain amount of courage, I suppose, to speak about these things in a public forum like these radio programs are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
especially in our society where people are so focused on the so-called bottom line.
Yeah, in a very materialistic society, you tend to look for material, technological answers for mm-hmm. problems, and to find, find a pill for every ill. So it's to begin to look inward towards the human soul as the factor for healing or for the for spiritual comfort or spiritual balance, let's say, in your life. It's a whole different way of looking at the world, and that's essentially what we're trying to present here.
But these goals that we've described do require money. What I mean is that to educate the human mind, to uplift consciousness, requires the dissemination of knowledge and wisdom, and that requires a communications network via our website, via the books we publish, via pamphlets that we distribute worldwide in many languages. All of these things have a material cost. And the postage, I could go on for a great length of time about the amount of money that goes into the postal system. It's just awful.
Yeah, because we have a correspondence school.
Yeah.
The Arcane School is by correspondence all
we
through the mail.
We watch that money go right out through the postal meter every day. It's
and
incredible.
And postage costs are going up. So
yeah.
They keep going up. So, yes, it's a big expense.
People may think, oh, dear, this first-class stamp went up from 34 cents to 37 cents. Oh, well. But for us, when we rely entirely on correspondence, it's a very major thing. And my point is that all of these programs that work towards education and the dissemination of spiritual values don't happen on their own. Yes, thoughts can be communicated telepathically, and meditation is a real form of the distribution of energy. But we also work in a physical plane world, and we circulate literature, pamphlets, communications via the radio program. This is one splendid example of a cost. This program annually represents about a third of our budget. So that when we undertook this program, we actually increased our yearly budget by 50% without any money in sight to do so. How many sensible businesses would do that? We decided to try it in the hopes that the money would be made available to us. We always work on the law of extension. In other words, we begin a spiritual project when we think there is legitimate need and trust that the needed money will be made available. And it takes real courage, and some people might say a good deal of foolishness, to work that way, but that is how we work.
Of course, Lucis Trust, the organization, sponsors this show, and Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and all the dialogue that we hear on this show emanates from one of the 24 volumes of literature written by Alice Bailey. But one of the topics that she writes about is a vast group of servers who have the responsibility of reorganizing the world's financial resources. Could you say something about that?
Yes, we've talked before about the various departments of the group of world servers. They work in education, government, religion, science, culture, and finance. My understanding from the Ancient Wisdom is that the Department of Finance was the most recently added in terms of the working out of the divine plan for our time. But we can see these workers at work in the world in the redirection of financial energy, the great amount of attention that's being given to the meeting of third world debt, the unclogging of the unjust lack of distribution of financial resources, where so much is tied up in the hands of so few. And there are, what, one person in five lives on a dollar a day or less? Two people in five live on $2 a day or less? They know real hardship.
And we've seen this, the growth of the, well, institutions like the World Bank, that has been set up to help particularly third world nations to finance their needs. And even though there's been a lot of controversy about the World Bank and the problems that have been have arisen because of it, I think they're now trying new ways to get money, to distribute money more evenly to third world nations. And so these are the trials, these are the testings and the beginnings of a whole change in world finance, I think, that's a very important and needed step.
There's a great outcry today about globalization and the misuse of money, but I think behind the scenes there are workers trying their very best to bring about a new understanding of how to solve the economic problems of the world on an inner level. And we have to support them with our understanding and our lighted thought.
Mm-hmm. And please remember to give us a call. You can either order, we can do both, actually, order the general package of information. It's just filled with information, bursting at the seams with literature and information about Lucis Trust. So give us a call if you'd like to order the general package of information, or if you have any questions or want to make contact with us and find out more about us. Dial 1-866, that's 1-866-695-8247. Or the easier way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.